You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby back at the studio at Radio Park in Racine. We are live on location at the EAA Museum here in beautiful Oshkosh. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Todd Alba also going to be doing his show here live starting at 2 o'clock today. If you're in the Oshkosh area, we would love to meet you.
Absolutely.
Building is open. The museum is open. So if you'd like to stop by, we actually have Kringle.
We have Kringle. Oh,
we
my
have
God.
Kringle and coffee that will... You'll grow.
I think
you will grow.
It'll wake up the rest of your days.
Todd Alba knows how to make one strong pot of coffee. So stop by and see us. We would love to meet you. This is just day one of our road trip with Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. Today, Oshkosh. Tomorrow, from Butternut. And then on Friday, we will be in Hayward. If you're in those areas, again, come and see us. We'd love to meet you. I think we have some T-shirts and some other... potentially swaggy things.
Jane, I just want to admit to you something.
Oh, you forgot the shirt.
I forgot the shirt. I knew Luke Mathers would be looking at me right now while I said that. I forgot the
shirt. No problem.
Shirt.
We'll give you a coupon for a shirt.
Yeah, like when we were kids, like they had the Star Wars toys that they'd be like, here's a coupon. Send it to us, and in February you'll get
sure,
something.
Sure. Stop on by. We'll give you a coupon, and then we'll send you a shirt. I promise. It's coming. Dick Napinski from the EAA is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news just to talk about all the doings here. There is a lot going on in Oshkosh. EAA officially kicks off on Monday, and then Hal Bryan, also connected to the EAA, going to learn more about why Oshkosh and how this thing all got started and
Absolutely.
What this means
Absolutely.
To the community.
Yeah.
Before we get to the news, though, I did want to mention this because it makes me furious. We're all about saving money. We can't waste money. There's waste and fraud. This is terrible. Oh, no, no. Well, U.S. to destroy 500 tons of emergency food as aid freeze stalls global relief efforts. Yeah. So we cut off USAID, USAID.
Yes. Yes.
Nearly 500 metric tons of high energy biscuits that the administration bought, the Biden administration bought for $800,000. We've had this stuff. We bought them.
Yeah.
We have these things.
Yeah.
So we had this $800,000 worth of these high energy protein biscuits that were meant to feed children in crisis zones like Afghanistan and Pakistan. Well, now USAID staff had asked if we can still do this. Can we still distribute this stuff? We have it. It's already paid for. No. We're going to destroy it. Secretary of State Marco Rubio testifying in May that no food aid should go to waste. Oh. But internal documents reviewed by The Atlantic show that already by that time he was testifying before Congress that they planned to destroy the food that had already been issued. Burning up this food is going to cost us an additional $130,000.
I mean, this, they have been talking about the effects, and I know that Todd wrote a wonderful story on Civic Media on our website about how his life was impacted by USAID, but the effects that were felt by cutting this program were felt immediately, and they spoke about the food that wouldn't get to people, the people who would die because of it, and there was no convincing anyone differently that this was a terrible idea.
Right.
And now, and we're what? We are 5 months into the administration. We are now starting to see just, like, those numbers are starting to come out. I mean, this is just, this is shameful.
It is shameful.
This is, I mean... From a bunch of people who try to speak from a spiritual, faithful point of view, the idea of being, you know, pushing a narrative that is faith-driven, this is something that is actually in the book. They talk about, like, you know, I don't know, feeding the poor.
That is in the book. I believe that's mentioned specifically in a very specific book.
They made a couple fish feed a lot of people. Yeah. But, like, that's just it, though. They're saying instead, like, no, we're just going to, we're not only going to not do it, we're going to burn it.
Yeah, it's, I just find this appalling and atrocious and the height of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
It is the height of hypocrisy
to
say that we are so concerned about all the way. We already bought this stuff.
Mm-hmm. What would it harm getting those? Like, what would it harm putting it on planes, getting it to the people who needed it? And whatever, you want to cut it off after that, that's reprehensible, but I'm not in charge.
But to do this
is just a slap in the face, it's going to have consequences on the perception of this country by those who once needed our help. They're going to see us as just a horrible nation, and they're not, I mean, the, let's just say that, let's say 2028 happens without a hitch. There's an election. Donald Trump is not elected into office. The repair work that the next president is going to have to do is going to be 2 years
massive.
Of their presidency.
It's going to be, yeah. This is going to take a decade.
Yes,
it's going
absolutely.
To take a decade
absolutely.
To fix this. All right, we are live here at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh. I absolutely want to drive that. I need one of those. I don't even know what that is.
It's a big car puller thinger. It pulls things.
It's a plane puller.
It's a puller of planes.
Luke, we need one of those.
Can you, Luke, put that into the budget? Just put it as miscellaneous spending, please. Thank you very much.
Jane wants actually, a toy.
You know what? Actually, get two. Why get one when you get two for
two
twice the
better.
Price?
Absolutely.
That's great.
We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Dick Nepinski from the EAA is here. He's been doing this forever.
Yeah.
He's also an old TV guy.
Radio guy.
Radio guy. So we're going to share lots and lots of stories. And again, if you are in the Oshkosh area, come on out and see us. The EAA Museum is open. We are here until 11 o'clock. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live. Calvin live at our home at Radio Park in Racine. We are on the road, baby. Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show on the road. Our first stop today at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh. If you're in the area, the museum is open. We would love to meet you. Stop on by. We have fresh coffee that will make you grow several inches. And we also have Kringle if you are so inclined. So please join us. We would love to meet you. Thank you, Mike, on the live stream who says, welcome to Oshkosh. We are so happy to see you both here. Civic Media is the best. We really appreciate that, Mike. Thank you so much. You know who is the best, who is making time out for us and let us in this morning and helped us get all set up? Dick Nepinski is here from the EAA. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Welcome to the house. Great to be here.
Oop.
You know, it's there we go. That works a little bit better.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's fun.
People have said that's always been my best voice. Welcome to the house.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Today's airplane moving day, by the way, back of us going on. As we get ready for AirVenture next Monday, we're moving these airplanes out onto the flight line, and people can see them outdoors when they're here. And then we use this Eagle hangar inside our museum for a lot of public functions as well during the week.
Because other than there's the great air show, which happens every day, which is fantastic. I used to come up every year for it. I knew some of the skydivers. But you have all kinds of classes and other. There's so much involved with the EAA beyond just the air show.
Oh, you're right, Jane, because you think about this event during the course of the week. We have 9 air shows in 7 days, you know, 2-night air shows and so forth. We have one of the largest aviation education conferences in the world. We have 1,400 different seminars going on during the week. We have more than 800 exhibitors, so it's one of the biggest aviation trade shows in the world. And then in this facility here on Thursday night, we put on a fundraiser for our education program that raises $2 million.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a big fundraiser, too. And, you know, for a lot of organizations, any one of those things would be a full year thing.
Yeah.
And we do it all in 1 week. Oh, by the way, we've got 40,000 people who are going to be camping right here, too. So we've got the second largest city in Winnebago County that pops up for a week as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is
amazing.
Wow. I mean, and you were saying before we got on the air that people, and I mentioned this earlier, that people show up like a week and a half ago to get good camping spots. Like they're here.
They're particular spots.
And they spend the month here. And they're this is their summer thing.
Oh, yeah. We opened up our campground on June 27th, and we had several hundred people lined up ready to get their camp spots. In fact, we've got a system to make sure, okay, people, let's be orderly and get your numbers. It's kind of a deli system. Okay, number one, go get your camp spot.
Wow.
And and so they get in, and a lot of these people have camped next to each other for 20, 30 years. Their families have grown up next to one another. A lot of them are volunteers. They'll spend some time out here and doing everything. Some of the people you see pulling airplanes today in the red shirts, they're all volunteers.
No kidding.
They're out here and they're tugging airplanes around and just having a great time with it.
And we talked about this before we even got on the air, just about the history and the relationships. And at the hotel, we were at the Marriott last night in downtown Oshkosh, and I heard two guys speak, and I couldn't even understand. They were foreign, but it's like, I know why you're here.
Yeah.
I know. You're here for the EAA. I'm sure you're here for the EAA.
I mean, it's just, and walking into this room alone, and we've got a shot of it right now on the live stream, and now that some of the planes are gone, but in front of us right now are just these beautiful planes that have fought wars. And next to us, we have a Huey that fought, you said three
tours in Vietnam.
Three tours in Vietnam. So the history is just, it's almost overwhelming. And there's just such beautiful artwork on the wall showing exactly where these planes fought and the things they did for this country. It's just, this room alone is perfect and wonderful. I can't even, the rest of the campus is excellent. And I love the component of the education. And I know that when I was listening last year, I believe you were on as well, you talk about the educational programs you have for kids.
Yep, we do. You know, it all starts off with our Young Eagles program. Our members throughout the country donate their time, the airplanes, the fuel to fly kids for absolutely free, ages 8 through 17, our Young Eagles program. We have flown 2.4 million kids in 30 years.
Wow.
Matter of fact, there are approximately 20 to 30,000 of today's pilots under the age of 40 who started with a Young Eagles flight.
No kidding.
And so the people flying your regional jets today, your airliners, they're in the military programs. They are in all the college aviation programs right now. A lot of them started as that first flight. Young Eagle, and it might be here, it might be in a chapter someplace in California, in Arkansas, in Delaware, that they got that first flight with an EAA member and said, this is cool. I want to do this.
We've talked to the EAA in Racine.
We talked, and they
down there. Great,
yeah, they're terrific.
Yep. They came on, talked about the Young Eagles program, and we actually made us official members of the EAA last year. And we have I have my badge at home, and
there
I was just like, it's wonderful. And I love that educational aspect for young people because another thing I remember you discussing is that this industry is an industry that is teeming with jobs.
It is.
Kinds of jobs.
And these are good jobs too. These are they're almost like, they remind me of like trade jobs in the sense that you get trained, you learn how to do these tasks, and then eventually like you're employable pretty much anywhere in the world who needs this work.
Exactly right. Not just pilots, too. A lot of people think airline pilots, but you need the technicians, the people that fix the airplanes. Mm-hmm. You need engineers. Within the aviation industry, there are room for marketers, people in finance, schlubs like me in communications. And,
I'm a schlub. I can get a job here?
That's right. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, look for the listing under schlubs. And so, those kind of things are all available within aviation. And now with the drone community, the urban air mobility community starting, all that technology coming to the fore, there's a whole new horizon developing right now in the world of flight, in the world of aviation.
Boy, I never even considered the whole drone aspect of it. That's huge.
One thing we're going to have during AirVenture is a company called Wing, and they're actually going to do demonstrations over part of our campground on what the delivery service is going to look like in the future. And there's a lot of airspace issues that we're working out right now between drones and manned aircraft and things like that. And there's some controversy and some conflict, but that is part of the future as well, and that airspace is going to be shared. And so how do we do that safely and effectively? That's one of the questions coming up for the future.
Well, we got to start talking about how we're going to navigate it now, because it's
coming, right?
Going to go away.
And if you're just joining us, we have Dick Nepinski, who's here from the EAA. We are going to be, they are, I'm not doing anything. You don't want me near this. But next week is the big EAA event that it happens, and it brings in, how many people does it bring in? Just from the people driving in their campers alone, flying in, like, how many people do you have on the property?
Last year we had a record attendance. This is an aggregate attendance, much like the Brewers have an aggregate attendance throughout the year. 686,000 a total attendance here. Now, that's between 200,000 and 300,000 separate bodies that is on, who are on these grounds during the course of the week. And you're right, a lot of them fly in. Think about the draft that the Green Bay had back in late April.
Right.
Tremendous event. They did a great job up there hosting the draft, and they had about 600,000 people there. Once in a lifetime event for Green Bay.
Yeah.
We do that every year.
Every year.
Yeah. And so it's bringing it together. We had people here from 94 countries last year. And you take a look at that, and the world literally comes to Oshkosh for a week. And if you talk to pilots around the world and simply say the word Oshkosh, they know
everybody
exactly
knows
what you're talking about.
That's amazing.
What a wonderful bonding thing for all of, for everybody.
Yeah.
Seriously. And if even if you think, that's not my thing, I don't, you know, I don't want to, if you get in here, there is something that's going to grab you. I'm telling you.
Just the museum alone.
Just the museum. We were talking about this before you joined us, Dick. That little Spitfire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tiny. It's this teeny, tiny little thing. And being able to get up close to it and see it like this gives you a whole different appreciation for what our armed forces went through and what they experienced.
Exactly.
Looking at the spot where the bombardier set.
Oh, yeah. The
And, I mean, it's
yeah, the belly turret, that's amazing.
That's a scary place to be.
Yeah, if they, you were 5'6", they stuck you in there, and you spent 8 hours on the bottom of
crunched
B-17, hoping that, first of all, nobody was shooting at
you. Exactly.
And second of all, that the pilot remembered to put the landing gear down when you landed.
That would be important.
Yeah.
That's helpful. That's very, very
helpful.
That is helpful.
Very helpful. Now, Dick, I wanted to ask you about something. There's been a lot of controversy within the Transportation Department, FAA. We had huge tragic accidents happening this year. And I wanted to talk more to you about, you said something interesting off air about the safety record in America with regard to air travel that we do not hear. I personally have never heard anyone from the organization talk about the record versus, you know, what we see in the news. Can you speak more on that, please?
Sure. You know, when those accidents happen, and they're tragic, the one that happened near Reagan National, of course, earlier this year, the Air India one that happened recently, you know, tragic stuff when that happens with airliners, very high profile and so forth,
yes.
And people say, oh my goodness, is air travel safe? Yes, actually, if you take a look at the graph over the last 50 years, air traffic has gotten considerably safer. For instance, just in our recreational community, the accident rate has dropped by about 50% over the last 40 years.
Really?
You know, the better training, better technology in the cockpit, things like that. So those kind of things are happening. And one reason it makes the news is because it is so rare.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get on an airplane and there's a level of trust there. All of us do that. We get on an airliner, go someplace, and there's a level of trust there. And when something like that happens, you go, oh boy, I'm not in control of that. What is going on there? One thing that these accidents did do, however, is put a focus on the FAA and the technology needs that they have.
Yes.
Everybody's talking about, hey, we have to update the air traffic control system, which is entirely true. The FAA knows it. The air traffic controllers know it. They are understaffed. They need resources. They still have people printing off paper briefings on strips of paper as they did 40 years ago, 50 years ago. That technology has to be upgraded.
Yes.
And so it's great to see that Congress and the White House have agreed, saying we have to put resources behind this and update this and bring this up to the technology which matches what the pilots in many cases have now in the cockpit with ADS-B, the see and avoid, the weather radars, and everything else that are such a part of what we have here on our computers, our iPads.
Right.
And a lot of us who fly actually use iPads now just as much as the instruments to see what the weather is, where the airports are, what alternate airports are, our routes. It's an amazing thing.
And that's another job, too, that we were just speaking about. You know, air traffic controllers, I know they need them.
Oh, they're desperately. Yeah.
Desperately need. And those are jobs that are out there that I understand that they're high stress, yeah, but they are important and
critical
things that kids can, if they see that job, be like, oh, that's something I want to do. And if they're given the support and technology they need, it becomes more attractive to get into the industry to do that versus seeing the stories we're seeing now. I mean, I applaud the White House and Congress for taking the, because as you mentioned, it's been decades of back and forth.
Yeah.
And now they're finally.
We'll do it later.
But now they're taking charge, and that's great.
Well, it's like, you know, you have a house and you always put off that maintenance, and pretty soon, you know, everything falls apart all at once.
Yeah.
You know, same type of situation. You've got one of those things where you've patched along technology for so long.
Right.
How do you bring it up to where it needs to be? And since you've patched it for that long, it's going to take a sizable investment to put into it.
Absolutely. Dick Nepinski is our guest. We are here at the EAA Museum, day one of On the Road with Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. So delighted to be here. If you are in the area, the museum is open. Please come in and say hello. We got coffee, we got crinkle, all kinds of things. No shirts, though.
Yep, that's on me. No shirts, sorry.
But we'll give you a coupon. So yeah. No, it's all good. We only have a couple of minutes before we got to take a short pause, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the scholarship opportunities for kids and what this can mean, because as you and I had talked about, learning how to fly can be an expensive proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what this offers them, and also what this does for the city of Oshkosh and why this is so important to this area. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the VAST, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up globally on the app, baby. The Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We got Calvin back at Radio Park in Racine running the board. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, day two of our Come to Wisconsin, Be Amazed tour. Yeah. We've just renamed it.
Come to Wisconsin, Be Amazed.
Be Amazed. Greg came up with that right before we went to the news. I think it's fantastic. Yes, and we are at the Fanatical Fish Art Gallery and Studio here in downtown Butternut. And the owner, Kelly Meredith, is our guest. Thank you so much for having us here. We really appreciate it.
This has been fabulous.
If you are in the area, please stop by and say hello. Todd is going to be broadcasting also his show from 2 to 4 later on this afternoon. So we're going to be exploring Butternut for a couple of hours in between. But we wanted to talk about some of the art that you feature here at your gallery. Kelly, who would you like to start with?
I'll start with me.
Start with you.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Greg's going to be our art display.
He's going to be Mr. Auctioneer guy. Yep.
Okay. Here we go.
Hold,
all right.
Hold the piece up.
All right. There we go. Thank you very
and
much.
And take a fabulous look at this. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Okay. And actually, this has just been sold. It's been sold to Marshall.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Oh, goodbye. No. What is it? I'm holding it until they come pick it up. That's going to Marshfield Clinic. Yay.
Oh, nice.
And actually, like all my work, it's actually places around here. So this is the Brunswiler River. It's about 45 minutes from here. I worked from a photograph my dad liked to photograph. And so it's a photograph my dad took. And, you know, I love this area. It's not super like glamorous, like the Rockies, you know, that's stunning. It's got a more subtle beauty, which I'd really appreciate. I do a lot of creeks and marshes and swamps. I find them very beautiful. I love dead trees. There's nothing more beautiful than a dead tree. So anyway, all my work basically features local. My most common one is a place called Rapid Creek, which is about 10 minutes from here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Monet's Lilies de Giverny.
Wonderful.
Like how he did the same scene like 3,000 times, but different lighting. So for me, it's Rapid Creek. I have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of paintings of Rapid Creek.
I am curious, always with artists in their own work, when you started out early on, you must have had some things and you looked at it and like, this is just terrible.
Like yesterday. I know.
I think that's reassuring though for people
who
are like, God, I'd really like to paint and I did this once in fifth grade and it was awful and I've never done it again.
Right. I have always insisted, because I was an art teacher, I've insisted that art is a learnable, teachable skill.
It is.
Because I wasn't really that good at art, but I really loved it. I developed a love of art because my mom would not make me go outside and play with the neighbor kids if I was quietly doing something. So back when I grew up, I think you and I are.
That's amazing. Oh, I should have done that.
Exactly. That's how you get out of playing with the neighbor kids.
Don't
here.
Make me go outside. Don't make me go outside.
I don't know if any. You're about the same age. Pack of Fun books. Do you remember Pack of Fun? Okay. Pack of Fun books were like these cheap, cheesy like art books, like how to make a macaroni mosaic.
Oh, macaroni mosaics.
You got to love that. Or string art. So that's how I, you know, got started as a kid. And I wasn't very good at art, but I...
You stuck with it, though.
Stuck with it. I really loved it, so yeah.
I think one of the things, too, to encourage the people, and this is something that I struggle with, that there are a lot of things that I would love to try.
Sure.
But because I know I won't be good at them immediately, it's sort of, there's almost a, why bother then? Because
sure.
There are tons of people out there who are good at it. What am I going to do to add to it? And that really is about getting rid of that mentality and saying, don't worry about other people. Don't worry about... being, as you were saying, try and be famous or online. Just do one thing. Try doing one painting. And if you can do it, great. And then try again.
Right.
And again.
Because you're doing art for yourself, aren't you?
Yes. And I have Saturday classes in here starting every Saturday, starting from Memorial Day weekend all the way through the end of September. And it's geared for what I call the curious beginner. It's someone who's bought all the supplies and now goes, huh, what do I do with these?
Yeah.
Which happens. And it's people who, it's almost always women. I don't know why men don't show up, but women do.
I have theories.
Exactly. I don't know. I hope that they're welcome. You know, they understand. Anyway, it's people who just want to try and experiment, and you form this little community of other people who want to try and experiment, and it's just
and
joyful.
And supporting each other as well.
Because even like, okay, that's art. I think about like singing. Like, why do you feel like you can't sing?
Because
like,
somebody told them once they couldn't.
Exactly.
There are people out there who will say to you, oh, you're not good at that, or maybe you should try something else. And people will then, instead of, it's weird, we will take that kind of criticism to heart and say, well, someone told me once.
Right.
But never say, well, maybe they're wrong, or maybe I can try this or that. It's a really weird, especially when it comes to art.
Yes.
When it comes to art, I mean, like you said, it's teachable. Singing's teachable. Playing an instrument is teachable. You just have to put, especially as an adult, you have to put aside time to give it to. And when you do that, you're giving it to yourself. You are taking time for yourself. It can be, I won't say it's a replacement for therapy, but it's a good way of letting go and expressing yourself.
Right. 100%. You know, and just do it for the joy.
Yes.
And actually, just about everything works. You know, obviously, I went to art school. Well, I didn't really go to art school. I got my teaching degree. It's not really art school. But you kind of learn that, you know, you open up your eyes and your brain to what art can be instead of narrowing it down to X and Y. So just, again, because I was an art teacher, I really loved the drawings that my kindergartners did. To me, that was pieces of art because they speak and they are expressive.
And honest.
I would look at someone and go, wow, that's a great abstraction for a cat. I would like to use that. You know, like I've often said, I hope the kindergartners got as much out of being with me as I got out of being with them.
That's so fantastic. That's
wonderful.
If you are just joining us, we are live on the road from the Fanatical Fish Gallery Art Studio here in downtown Butternut. Kelly Meredith, the owner, is with us right now. We are on the road with the Todd Alba Show, our Wisconsin Come Be Amazed tour. Our new name.
You're welcome.
On day
you're welcome.
Two. Yes. And we would love to have you join us at 855-752-4842. As always, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Let's switch art, if you would. Vanna White.
Okay. I just want to make sure I have enough cord.
For us, and we'll feature another.
Pick
Kelly's gallery here.
Okay, this is another artist. Her name is Terry Morgan. And how I met Terry, this is an odd story. Terry actually had a, prior to the pandemic, she had an adult day center for adults who, you know, have cognitive disabilities and or were suffering from dementia or whatever. I kind of tumbled into her because my dad, unfortunately, was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. And I would reach out to her because, like, what can I do? Like, what activities can I do with my dad? And I met her in the gallery, and she gave me all kinds of really great tips and ideas. And then she sort of blurts out, I paint.
And real shy,
she's
right?
She's like, I've got some paintings in my car. Is it okay if I pull them out? I'm like, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they were really nice.
They're beautiful.
This was about 4 years ago. And so I actually sold some of her work to a clinic in Park Falls, which is really nice. And she came back about 6 months ago and said, hey, I've been studying more and I'm retiring and now this is what I'm doing. And so she showed me this one. I'm like, oh.
It's beautiful.
It's Blockhouse Lake, which is just outside of Park Falls, so not very far from here. Again, very local. Actually, what she did was very human and very vulnerable. She brought in all her work. She said, I would like you to critique this for me. Scary for me because even though I was an art teacher, it was children. They're much more flexible. Kids, especially teenagers, like, yeah, I don't care what you say.
Also, adults aren't going to take, you did a great job as a real compliment criticism.
They're not. They're the higher bar. So she brought in all her work, and I said, well, this works for me. And here's why, and this doesn't work for me, and here's why. And if I were guiding you, I'd suggest this direction, not this direction. But I picked these pieces out and said,
it's really beautiful.
This is gorgeous.
But yeah, so it's nice. Again, we're talking about opening up your brain to who's an artist and opening up your brain to what art is. Mm-hmm. I love it when people like switch gears and decide to devote themselves to art, and because everybody, it's a learnable, teachable skill.
Well, and it has very many healing properties as well.
Yes.
Because I have talked to different veterans groups over the years, and art is one way that is very helpful for people who are dealing with depression or PTSD or all kinds of things as an outlet, as an expression. Maybe you can't say the words,
right.
But you can put it on a canvas.
And I think an important aspect too of the story of this painting, with regard to the person, what was her name again?
Terry Morgan,
is that it's never too late.
Right.
Don't ever think that you can't do something because, well, I'm not even talking about people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. I'm talking about people who are in their 20s and 30s because they thought, well, I didn't do it as a kid. I can't do it now. It's never too late.
Oh, yeah.
Find a way to express yourself. Find a way to just put it out there because, as you said, there are healing properties and it's important.
Oh, I agree.
We are here at the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio in downtown Butternut, Wisconsin. We'd love to see you stop on by. We're going to be broadcasting until 11 o'clock, talking to Kelly Meredith, the owner of the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio. The other thing I think that's so important, Kelly, is you said things can be taught. You can you can teach people how to do shading. You can how to get movement.
Right.
But that's all in the shading and the coloring and all those things.
Right.
You can, even I could learn those things.
Absolutely.
Yes. Learnable, teachable.
I grew up watching Bob Ross. And granted, I'm not going to be able to pick up the paints and do it like he does it, but it's about the practice and keeping it very simple. And both, I think, your subject matter, because like it was all outdoor landscapes.
Right.
And just keeping that, you know, he had a method of doing it, a way of practicing it, and that's how you did it. And one of the things I love is growing up, I always loved that show. And he was always seen as, well, it's Bob Ross. It's not real art.
It's not real.
Right,
and now it's being recognized as actual of real value because he told you could do it.
Right.
And that's important.
I don't personally like his work.
Yeah.
My kids would always say, can we paint like Bob Ross? I'm like, no. but don't get me wrong. Let me back up. So all you Bob Ross lovers, don't start hating on me. I love the fact that he was so joyful.
Yes.
And that to me is that gets me. Mm-hmm. I'm sold. If you are doing it out of joy and pure love of the thing, and actually for a lot of people, it's good to pick a role model. Pick somebody whose work you like. Try and emulate that. You are going to naturally grow away from that eventually. So you start with somebody you really enjoy, like maybe Bob Ross. You get that down, and then you realize, hey, I should also try X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
And it's part of your growth process. It's part of a journey. So
absolutely. It's fantastic. And you have classes.
every Saturday.
All painting, or do you do pottery
it's quite,
and everything?
And I actually don't teach them. I invite other artists to come in. That's why I said Lisa Krieger and Francis Whitfield on the art tour. If you guys want to go see them, I reach out to this cadre of artists every January and say, hey, you know, what would you like to make propose your class? And then they set the price, and then you know, send me photos and descriptions, and then they show up for a Saturday and teach. So it's kind of fun.
Check it out. We're going to include links to the gallery and all the things that we're talking about on the show. You can always find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, click on Matinee on Air, and then we will have at least 100 prior episodes that are archived. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you click on the individual episodes, Greg has all the links in there for everything that we are talking about. Come on by and see us. We're at the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio. By the way, if my husband is listening, I have to buy stained glass.
Yes, you do.
I have to. Kelly said I can't leave until I buy something. So that's the only reason I'm buying anything.
She's a hostage.
Just
a hostage.
So you know. Yeah. Stay with us. A little weather and wine on the other side with Brittany Merlot. You're listening to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee and Greg Bach coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin. We are at the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio here in downtown Butternut. Day two of Matinee on Air and the Todd Alba Show on the road. Wisconsin, come and be amazed.
Wisconsin, be amazed.
Be amazed.
Oh, is it come and be? Wait, is it Wisconsin, come and be amazed, or just Wisconsin? I think it's Wisconsin,
be amazed. We'll go with that. It fits better on a shirt.
Yeah.
She is joining us, as she always does at this time, for a little weather and wine. Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot is live from Wausau. We waved to you when we drove through yesterday in the rainstorm.
Yep.
Good morning, Brittany. Yay. How are you doing?
Thank you. Oh, good morning. I'm doing fantastic. I mean, a little tired after yesterday, and I'll say, my thing, Wisconsin strong. That's what they are. We're Wisconsin strong.
We are Wisconsin strong. Those were some crazy storms that came through yesterday.
Yes. I mean, we've got National Weather Service out surveying a bunch of different areas. They're looking at Dodgeville, Sauk City, Fall River, Beaver Dam, Fox Lake area. They confirmed an EF0, 65-mile-per-hour winds in a cornfield there. So thankfully, just a cornfield, I think, at the moment. Gosh, they're looking at Fond du Lac. A funnel cloud was reported. Hustisford, they also confirmed an EF0 there. 70-mile-per-hour wind gusts.
Wow.
And it was on the ground for like 14 minutes, so a decent amount of time there. And then, goodness, they're even looking at Lemonwire, Westfield, and a bunch of different areas as well. But, I mean, scattered wind damage. We saw 50 to 60-mile-per-hour gusts knocking down trees yesterday. Major flooding, too. An inch to an inch and a half of rainfall per hour was what was happening, causing flash flooding. I mean, Wautoma, there's cars underwater. They were stalled. The water was over their hoods. Highway 21 was impassable between Wautoma and Coloma. I think even in Neenah, Oshkosh, flooding there, water in basements, creeks overflowing.
Oh, my.
It hit fast and hard.
It did.
Well, when we were on the air yesterday, when Todd was on the air yesterday, he was ending his show in the last half hour. He was giving all the tornado watches and warnings, and it just felt like he kept going and going and going because there was so much happening. And when he got done with the show and we were packing up the car, we thought we were going to have to stick around. Luckily, the rain in the Oshkosh area started to calm down a little bit, and it was very manageable for that first hour driving north, and then it stopped. But we were looking at that weather forecast, and even I, who doesn't know how to read weather forecasts very well, I'm like, this does not look good.
Yeah, you see all the red boxes and the yellow boxes coming at you and the big red on the radar. Yeah, that is no good usually. So thankfully, so far, I have not heard of any injuries reported, nothing like that.
That's
so
lucky.
Yeah.
That's the best part is we're safe. Everything can be replaced. Remember that. And Wisconsin comes together as such a good community in times like this, and it's just so amazing to see. So Wisconsin strong.
Mike, Brittany, I'm going to ask you to pull your mic just a little bit closer to you, but also something that I want to say that Jane said yesterday, I think is worth repeating, is that when these weather reports come through, when you were giving them, whether it's us or your trusted source for weather, take these warnings seriously. This is not, you know, I know that we live in Wisconsin, tornado watches and warnings happen quite a bit, especially during the season. And it's easy to say, it's not a big deal. I'm not in the area or for whatever reason, but you need to take heed. You need to be safe. And when you're given a warning,
take it seriously.
What you need to do to get yourself in a good place.
Yes, because we are not putting out those watches and warnings in the National Weather Service. They're not doing that for fun. They're seeing some strong rotation. They're seeing major, major points that look like it is a tornado. So just take it serious. And if nothing ever happens, you're lucky, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
So you spent a half an hour in the basement. You didn't have to. If that's the worst of it, then you get off really well. It is so perfect today in Butternut. This is like the perfect summer day. Mm-hmm. Is this weather going to last? What are we expecting for at least as we head into the weekend, Brittany?
Yeah, so we've got this beautiful high pressure, cooler fall feel kind of in a sense for July. This is amazing. We're going to stick with this today, tomorrow, and then things are going to start to change a little bit. We have chances for showers and storms sparking up tomorrow afternoon, far northwest, but by the night and overnight, it kind of rolls through the state. These storms will not be severe. I don't think any worries with that. So just rolling through overnight might wake you up. A little bit of wet in the morning, especially south in the state for Saturday, but then we dry things out and warm up a little bit more towards our more seasonal temperatures in the 80s, low 80s or so for Sunday. Monday is pretty decent.
Brittany, you're breaking up
next
a little bit.
Week.
Okay, now I think we got you. Yeah, go ahead.
You got me? Okay. I was going to say by next week, it's pretty active. So we've got some calm weather now. A little front moves through late tomorrow night, Saturday morning, and then we're calm before the crazy week next week. A lot of stuff going on.
Well, get out and enjoy it if you have the opportunity for the next couple of days. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist.
Multi-award-winning.
And she joins us every week at this time where we have a little weather and wine. Brittany Merlot, thank you so very much for joining us. We will see you next week. And stay with us. When we return, Audio Sorbet coming up. We need your Oli and Lena jokes.
Yeah.
Greg has never heard an Oli and Lena joke. PJ on the live stream says, I'm with Greg. I have no idea what those jokes are.
I'm such uncultured swine.
We're going to fix this on the other side. Get them ready. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air live from Butternut, Wisconsin, on the road with a Todd Alba show. Stick around on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.